The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Thursday, August 9th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker, market analyst for ADM Grain Group Indicator. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the Andersons and Champaign. In agricultural news, it now appears that the Senate Agricultural Committee Chairman's mark of Farm Bill 2007 won't be released till mid-September. Also, the U.S. International Trade Commission will prepare a report on barriers to U.S. beef sales. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason will talk about grain bin preparation for the harvest. And we'll have the latest agricultural weather. It's all on the Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. September wheat, 660 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. December, 673 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat, 673 and a half, down 5 1/2. December, 691, down 10. September corn, 332 and a quarter, down 8 3/4. December, 348 and 3/4, down 9 1/4. March, 364 and a half, down 9. December of 2008, 396 and a quarter, down 8. August beans, 858 up 3. September, 862 unchanged. November, 877 and 3/4, down 1/4. November of 2008, 898, down 1/4. August soybean meal, 232.30 up $2. August soybean oil, 36.88 down 34. At the Merck, August live cattle, 90.80 down 57 1/2. August feeders, 114.95 up 37 1/2. Lean hogs for August, 73.92 1/2 down 90 on the day. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker, market analyst for ADM Grain Group Indicator, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon, Dave.
The action that we saw in the wheat pit, interesting in that after setting new contract highs, we were off significant. Are we looking at the beginning potentially of a blow-off top?
Well, we could be. I mean, that's what we recorded today was a key reversal, so that's going to have all the technicians' attention. I think one maybe needs to be a little cautious of it because I'm not too sure today's sell-off in wheat and corn, respectfully, was a result of anything changing on the fundamental front. It could have been very well stimulated by some of the uncertainty going on in the outside market activity where you had gold down, $13, $14. You got the stock market here down 250 and all worries about the subprime business and hedge funds going bankrupt. So I think there's some nervousness on that front. The other thing, of course, is, you know, we do have the report tomorrow morning, so there could have been some last-minute position squaring, thinking, golly, I'm going to take my profits on these longs on wheat simply because who knows what USDA may share with us tomorrow morning. So, it's probably hard to read because there is a lot of noise in the market here this week. But I think probably USDA's report will probably give us a good idea of whether or not that's the start of something that may be a little more of a deeper correction.
What kind of world number and or domestic supply number would you need to see then to be supportive of the marketplace?
Well, I don't know if there's any specific numbers. I think, you know, one thing that I guess I would be looking for is to, you know, something from the USDA to justify the rise in wheat prices that we've had over the past, basically since the July report. So, I mean, that would suggest to me that, you know, one, I'd probably see some lower numbers from the USDA. If you don't see some lower numbers, then you'd begin to wonder, you know, whether or not the strength that we've seen since July was really warranted or not from a fundamental perspective. That's where I would lean that USDA will maybe confirm why the wheat market has rallied over the past month here more so than whether or not it would tell us whether or not it's going to go sharply higher from here.
When you anticipate, though, if the market does break, it might be a rather significant break in a relatively short period of time?
Well, anytime, you know, because it could very well be. I mean, it's hard. Once the market runs out of buyers and everybody's pretty well good and long the market, then the issue of liquidation and money problems becomes part of the decline, and that could send the market into, a 2 to 3 week type decline. But that would not be uncommon and go against the underlying fundamental thinking of the marketplace. But the wheat market has not had any kind of significant setback, so to speak, for some period of time here now, and the market is terribly overbought. We've had several weeks up from the June low, a setback would not be uncommon at this point.
Turn your attention to the soybean market. It looks like soybean meal is helping to prop these prices up.
Well, today could have been some unwinding of this crush. I think soybean oil probably has found some weakness because we've seen some weakness in the crude oil market over the past week or two in here. So I think, you know, that could be spilling over from the crude oil. I think corn could have been having some weakness from crude oil energy prices. This is all part of the concern what's happening maybe to the underlying structure of the economy. So I'm not too sure you can read everything into today's action. You know, if it was a little calmer day, I think you would be a little more certain, you know, how the market, whether or not this technical action is valid or not.
Looking at November soybeans, we're seeing that futures are continuing to bang right against a Fibonacci 50% retracement from the April lows to the July contract highs. We're going to need to see some significant fundamentals to push on through at this point?
Well, I guess you would have to say that. I mean, and the fundamentals could be continued dry weather here in the southeastern Corn Belt. A lot of it could be what USDA issues tomorrow morning on their first crop estimate of the season, or measured crop estimate of the season anyway. Higher prices need to be driven by fundamentals, and if the fundamentals aren't there, they're not going to be driven by higher.
Well, I would think that the hot weather has been well talked about that we're having in the next couple of weeks. And regarding tomorrow's report, Dan, as you know, off the August report, they're not counting much of anything when it comes to a soybean.
Well, but, you know, I just about bet any dollar that if tomorrow's weather forecast returned cold and wet, you probably couldn't sell this market. So, we are in a weather market. The market is very jittery. You can see how we started out this week after we had good weekend rains in the northern Corn Belt. The market started off sharply lower than Monday, but was able to come back and close decently, and we've basically have looked back from Monday's low points. We're going into a weekend with weather forecasts calling for pretty much hot and dry for next week. There is some cooling, but there are weather people that are expecting some pretty good rains by the end of next week. So The market will have to wrestle with that going into the weekend. And my guess is the way the market acted this past week, there's going to be some nervousness going into the weekend on Friday, regardless of what USDA issues tomorrow morning.
Turn your attention to the corn and look at the technicals there, please.
Well, the corn market had a probably a fairly negative day today. You know, it's a concern, I suppose, to the technical side of the equation. But like I mentioned before, I think a lot of it was anticipation that maybe USDA could come up with a big number, nervousness in the outside market activity. But, you know, corn has broken out of breaking above some key trend line points over the past week here. So a lot of times when a market breaks out of a pattern, it'll settle back to that point of the breakout and then go ahead and resume the uptrend. So but today's decline in corn as well as in wheat is probably a little concerning to the technician. But like I said, tomorrow's report will kind of tee up whether or not the weakness would continue or be reversed.
And what number would you put that on? Maybe the July low, 326.5, September basis?
Oh, well, let's see what USDA says tomorrow morning on production estimates. I think, you know, the market feels that USDA could very well issue a fairly sizable number, and you know that would not necessarily take into account the weather adversities that we've seen in the eastern Corn Belt basically since August 1.
Thank you much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker, market analyst for ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the Taylorville Memorial Hospital Auditorium at 7 o'clock. Panelists for tonight's meeting include Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Tom Bresner of Assumption Co-op, Harry Cooney of Growmark, and Steve Freed of ADM. That's at the Taylorville Memorial Hospital Auditorium this evening at 7. No advance registration is required, and the meeting is free. Bring your agricultural marketing questions. We hope to see you there. Looking at Mike Sola's two-state forecast tonight, he says in Illinois and northern Indiana, partly cloudy with patchy fog developing in central and southern Indiana, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly during the evening, lows from 65 to 75 tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny with highs from 84 to 96 degrees. In agricultural news, sources say it now appears that Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin will wait until mid-September before he issues his draft of the 2007 Farm Bill for committee consideration. If so, the measure may not be sent to the full Senate until October, and some pessimists are predicting a November debate. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus is calling on the U.S. International Trade Commission to prepare a report on barriers to U.S. beef sales in major trading partners, including Japan and South Korea. Baucus says he is especially interested in receiving details on health, sanitary, food safety, tariff, quotas, and import licensing rules that could limit U.S. beef exports. Baucus requested the ITC complete the study within 10 months. The U.S. Trade Representative's office is hoping to send up to Capitol Hill two of the four pending free trade agreements next month. USTR spokesperson Steve Norton says when Congress returns from its August break, the White House will confer with leaders on sending up implementing legislation.
That as early as September, we can get the ball rolling on Peru and then Panama, followed by Colombia and Korea. It might be optimistic to think that all four can be taken up in Congress this fall, but we are eager to see each of these taken up and approved by Congress as soon as possible.
Norton says the Korea deal, the most lucrative for U.S. agriculture, is awaiting resolution of at least two issues.
With Korea, the International Trade Commission needs to produce a study of the economic impact of the agreement. That won't be ready until the fall. In addition, we need to make sure that Korea's market is fully reopened to U.S. beef products. Realistically, Congress isn't going to take up this agreement until the beef markets reopen.
Norton says Colombia labor and drug violence are slowing that FTA. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says producers are ultimately the key as to whether ethanol feedstocks other than corn are realized. Peterson, speaking yesterday at the American Coalition for Ethanol's National Convention in St. Louis, says companies with plans to use switchgrass or other energy crops will have to make growing them profitable for farmers. Recent studies have shown switchgrass can be produced in some regions of the nation for as little as $30 a ton, but that's only break even for producers. Auburn University researchers say producers need to be paid between $60 and $80 a ton to make switchgrass production profitable. Ohio is a hotbed this year for soybean aphids, catching entomologists off guard. Ohio State Extension reported this week that some north, central, and northeastern producers are seeing aphid numbers in the thousands per plant. Counties along Lake Erie are especially taking the brunt of the infestation. Soybean aphid densities are also increasing significantly across northern Illinois since the last week of July. Enough infested fields have been detected in northeastern, western, central, and eastern Illinois to declare an outbreak, though not as widespread as in 2003. Employees of the Farm Services Agency in Virginia are being investigated after they used government computers to spread an email urging opposition to a Farm Bill provision. The provision would reopen a court settlement that found the Agriculture Department discriminated against black farmers. The bill would allow some farmers who were rejected because they missed the court-ordered deadline to claim up to $100 million more in damages, or $50,000 a producer. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. A clean grain bin is mandatory. University of Illinois Extension reminds farmers to make sure they've checked, cleaned, and updated their grain storage facilities before the harvest season begins. Todd Gleason has more.
Harvest time will be here before we know it, says Ted Funk, and producers could be storing anywhere between $20,000 and $40,000 of grain in a 10,000-bushel bin. That's why the University of Illinois Extension agricultural engineer says it is a wise investment of time to prepare the bin and the grain for storage.
People are going to be pressing a lot of things into service if there's a good crop, and they're going to be really interested in price and so on of corn and taking good care of it. So this year, it's going to be, I think, really on people's minds and also to their best interest to make sure the storage is in good shape. First thing you need to do is sanitize. That is, make sure that you get into those bins and with the vacuum, with the brooms, and get all the insect debris and old grain debris out of those bins, because that's the kind of thing that will instantly jumpstart an infestation of insect problems if you don't take care of that.
Grain quality, says Funk, can be maintained in storage if it is managed properly, and he suggests the following steps for preparing a bin for storage. Repair any holes that may allow water to enter. Check for those holes by looking for sunlight coming into the bin. However, do not seal openings intended for aeration. Clean the inside of the bin using brooms and or a vacuum. Examine the inside of aeration ducts for debris and insects, and service the aeration ducts, fans, and vents to ensure proper operation. And don't forget to clean around the outside of the bin. Grain stores best when it is dry, clean, and cool. To that end, Ted Funk says it might be a very good idea to have bins checked by a professional.
I think this is a good time to actually talk to your grain bin and grain dryer and heater manufacturer, get him to come out and service, look the thing over. I think this would be a prime time to do some service on this equipment to make sure that everything is going to be in shape, because you don't want to be surprised when you're trying to harvest wet grain, put it in the bins, and then you get held up because of something that's not working. Either, you know, a bin heater isn't working or fan is down, things like that. You don't want any surprises when it comes time to harvest.
Producers can obtain more information about dry grain aeration and grain handling and storage from the Midwest Plan Service. Just search the web for Midwest Plan Service. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
On the last Commodity Week program, we had John Bondurant on. Of course, he's our friend down in the Delta. And he was saying they gave him a stellar bid on beans of 60 under from a dollar under, and he wasn't all that happy about the 60 under. But it's beginning to feel, if you look at the Delta prices, as if we may not see the convergence that we might have had in previous years.
Unfortunately, that's going to be the case here in the Midwest, too. New crop basis levels at the processor level are 50 under, and at a lot of the local elevators, they're 65 to 70 under. Space is just going to be tight this year. I guess that's the whipping boy. We're going to blame it on the lack of space. This extra corn acres are going to take up a lot of space, and eventually we'll need the beans, but they don't want them all in the fall. I think you'll see basis levels snap back dramatically once they've all found a home, but the trick is to find a home for them in September, October. Starting November 1, that bean basis, I think, will improve dramatically, but not until November 1, unfortunately.
So are you telling me you would favor storing beans over corn when the market says store both, really?
The market says store both. There's a 35-cent cash carry between fall and January, and from there on out, I think corn is a little bit better percentage-wise, but you can't go wrong storing either one. But, you know, the bean basis looks extraordinarily wide, so that one probably has a more of a potential to snap back quicker than perhaps the corn does.
So give us your best harvest to post-harvest play.
I think the corn prices in general are too low for the 08 crop. With the higher input costs and with higher bean and wheat prices, farmers are leaning towards planting beans and wheat instead of corn to the extent that they did this year. So the purpose or the function of the market is going to be to encourage farmers to change those plans and plant more corn. So I'm looking for a pretty good rally in December 08 futures. And while the 07 crop doesn't have to go up one for one, it does have to go up to some extent. So I think I'm pretty friendly corn long term. It doesn't have to go up this week or this month necessarily, but sometime between now and when farmers make that planting decision, December 1, let's say, I think you'll see higher corn prices.
What about your prices today?
Cash corn tonight finishes at 314, new crop corn 312, and January 346. Cash beans are 808, new crop 818, and next January 852. Old wheat 603, and new wheat 529.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. After weeks of gridlock, the Illinois House has approved a possible state budget. The plan approved this afternoon offers a major spending increase for education, but little new money for other programs. The measure passed on a 99-9 vote, 70 days after the legislative session was supposed to end and 9 days after the old state budget expired. The Senate will consider the plan later today. Before the vote, Governor Blagojevich questioned whether the plan adds up to a balanced budget. He also criticized lawmakers for not including money to build new roads, bridges, and schools. Meanwhile, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees says it's filed a lawsuit asking a judge to order Comptroller Dan Hines to issue paychecks to state employees. Hines has said that he can't write any payroll checks without a state budget in place. Union officials say the union filed its suit in Christian County and has asked a judge for a temporary restraining order to compel Hines to pay employees. The union represents about 45,000 state and public university workers. Ask Me Assistant Director Mike Newman said the union's members should not pay the price for the inability of lawmakers to pass a budget. State Representative Bill Black says he's not sure that the House-passed budget measure will get the nod from the head of the Senate Democrats. The Republican from Danville says that's because the budget idea doesn't include a proposal for a casino in Chicago. Yesterday, Black announced he would be leaving the House after his current term ends. Indiana officials are backing off a recent order by Governor Mitch Daniels to reassess properties in Delaware County. Local officials made it clear they don't want a general reassessment, and officials say they now believe residential bills increased significantly in that county, mostly because of local government and school spending. Several other Indiana counties are undergoing reassessment or are considered candidates. A new agency aimed at fighting back against hackers will be headquartered on the University of Illinois campus. The National Center for Supercomputing Applications is working with the FBI to form the National Center for Digital Intrusion Response, or INSITER. The agency will work on new ways to keep people from getting into the computer systems of government agencies or large corporations to steal data or hijack their computing capability. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I would expect that over the next 10 days or thereabouts, that there would be very few places in the Corn Belt that will have exactly a net increase in soil moisture. Is that correct?
That's probably right, though I think the odds of the dryness favor the southern half of the Corn Belt. Northern areas will start to pick up, especially some of those dry areas in northern Iowa and southern Minnesota. They're still in line to see some activity during this week, although the further south you go, the drier and hotter it gets, and I think the heat will be the main concern from Missouri across Illinois, Indiana, Ohio during the next several days. Pattern also does favor some, there's some instability that does favor some nocturnal showers from time to time. I don't think much will happen from Friday through, say, Monday or Tuesday, but I think as we get into the latter half of next week, we'll start to see this activity starting to develop at night. But I think you're right in saying that whatever we get probably won't equal the amount we're going to lose from evapotranspiration under the heat and hot and dry conditions this week.
So how much is the delta baking?
Well, the delta continues to be an area that's in trouble, mostly to the in the areas of the Mid-South and East. And they will see triple-digit numbers at times during this week and on temperatures. And they're also going to be void of most opportunities for precipitation. So I think that's an area that's going to be under quite some stress during this period. It looks like most of the shower activity will be far to the south along the Gulf, along the East Coast. And then the other areas, I said, up in the north, the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, those areas that really need the precipitation will probably be the ones that will get the help.
Turn your attention to foreign nations and give us your projections for wheat-growing areas that might be of interest.
Well, of course, the former Soviet Union areas have been suffering from heat and dryness now. They've had problems all season, and that extends down into the new Ukraine areas. And so we've got a real problem with wheat coming out of that part of the globe. In Europe, they've had a lot of showers in Western Europe, and that's contributing to problems with the winter crop harvesting in the north. And then the heat they had in Southeast Europe didn't do things very well. So Europe isn't going to produce as well as they should. Australia's got probably a good season coming. They had rain in the west and a little dry in the east. It's been a very cold winter, but it is winter. I don't see problems there. And in China, they're getting abundant moisture now up into the North China, so I don't see the problems there. So it's Europe, the Ukraine, maybe parts of Africa, and of course, over here where we're having, we've had our problems with the wheat.
Thank you much, Peter.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
Agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt, and that is today's closing market report. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report that takes place at 8:50 a.m. Central Time. This is Dave Dickey.